Good morning. I am Skip LaCour. It's a brand new day, and this is our morning connection. How are you doing this morning? Here we are again. Morning Connection podcast number 96. 96 days in a row, we've shared this time together. I've shared my life, my experiences, my ups, my downs, my all-arounds, my crazy thoughts, my great thoughts, everything with you on our way towards these 100 days with Skip LaCour. It's been my pleasure sharing my experiences with you. As you can see, I have this sincere desire to not only get the most out of life myself. Somewhere along the line, I took it upon myself and I got real joy out of helping other people. I talked about that time where I was driving down that dark street in Seattle, and man, life wasn't going very well. And the crazy thing about it is I just won the 1998 Team Universe Overall Champion, The Shape of My Life, shocked the natural bodybuilding world. That level of conditioning at that time, nobody saw it. I had worked so hard for that, and this was just a couple months afterward. You know, life was just so challenging. That imbalance for that period of time caused such a great physique and, you know, really is a stepping stone. One of the reasons why you're listening to me today was, you know, the result of everything that I learned, everything I accomplished from that period of time, that imbalance to achieve that, and then carrying that momentum and learning more things on top of it to create this level of knowledge, experience, confidence to be here with you right here, right now, to share my message. But at that time, man, it just, life was very challenging at that time. And I just remember driving down the street. I did two things with this mantra. And it's a Zig Ziglar quote. I just kept on saying, a big shot is just a little shot who keeps on shooting. A big shot is just a little shot who keeps on shooting. You know, because, man, it's just, like I said, the challenges, the stress, the imbalance, the disconnect from relationships at that time. I talk about all this in my upcoming book, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder. And the other thing that I was saying to myself, and I could just go back, I could feel the pain, the angst in my stomach and in my chest as I even think back, because it was a really emotional moment for me. And I said, man, I have to do something with this pain. I have to find a way to ease other people's pain and prevent them from this type of pain. I can't just go through it myself. That was one a defining moment for me that has led me to sharing my experiences, my knowledge, you know, my successes, my failures with you, you know, right here today in this Morning Connection podcast, and, you know, getting up every single morning and following through when I have something brilliant to say, and some days when I'm stuck, well, what am I going to talk about today? When there's other things pressing, but I committed to doing these 100 days with you, this Morning Connection podcast. You know, it comes from that moment and several moments like that where, you know, it had to be more than just about me, my experiences. I made it about helping other people all around the world. And, you know, since that time and before that, I've worked myself into this position with you. But, you know, you're the person who somehow found these podcasts, whether it's on Facebook, bodybuilding.com, iTunes, skiplacour.com, maybe it's through my email tips. I don't know how you came about this Morning Connection podcast, but you're the one who had to make the decision. Hey, this type of stimulating thought is what I need right now. Maybe he's telling me some things that pump me up, make me feel good. At the same time, he's probably touching some nerves with some things that I don't want to deal with. That, you know, I've been kind of thinking to myself that I need to address that, but I've been kind of pushing it off and staying in my safe place, feeling comfortable, resisting that pain so I wouldn't have to deal with it. I know that throughout these podcasts, I'm sure I'm touching on those type of things. Some of them, maybe it's time. Maybe you're just at that place where you said, you know what, now's the time to deal with it. I've had enough pain. I put this off for long enough. It's time to address it. Maybe if I pissed you off, Maybe I pissed you off so much. You know, he doesn't know me. Maybe that's true of him, but that's not true in my case. God, I hate when these guys preach and say all these things. They don't know anything about me. My condition's different. You know, maybe you are having that emotional response to some of the things that I'm saying, and you want to, you know, never listen to these podcasts again. You want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Maybe you'll pick something that I've said, you know, my fault. I talked about many of my faults throughout these podcasts. I continually do. Maybe you'll focus in on one. Yeah, what an idiot. Look what he did. What he did. That was a horrible decision. That was a horrible risk. That was a horrible investment of time. Look at that. Even though I'm the one who pointed it out to you. And you're going to say, see, because of that, I can't listen to anything that he says. So now he's talking about this thing that really touches a nerve with me. So therefore, I'm not going to listen to him on this one. Right? If you're getting that type of reaction, you know, maybe now isn't the time for you to address it. Maybe it's not that time. But I'll tell you, if you're getting that type of reaction by something that I say, I don't even know you. I'm just talking into a microphone early in the morning, doing this podcast, posting it, and it's heard by people just like you all over the world. I don't know your life, like you said. I don't know your situation. You're the one getting that reaction. And I, hey, brother, I know what you're talking about. I know how you're feeling, right? I felt that way many times. Many times when I heard audio cassettes or CDs or these type of inspirational or peak performance type of things, my situation was different. It didn't apply to me. What made it especially difficult was when I had those coaches or mentors, you know, say the same thing. And I would say, look where they're at. How can they identify with my situation, these guys? Right? And then I talked about the times where I got in the company of mentors. And so it wasn't just them generally saying things about life. I mean, they were talking about me and my shortcomings, right? And I went, man, you don't know. I mean, I got that reaction. You know, I remember this one multimillionaire. You know, he came to me, and at that time, you know, was selling a lot of actual books, bodybuilding and training books. This is just one story of many stories I can tell you like this, right? And videos at that time, maybe it was DVDs. And I was also traveling around the country with him, learning that peak performance business, the whole business end, the whole structure, meeting with people, regular people, not necessarily bodybuilding and fitness people, you know, from all, you know, all over the country, learning about, you know, people. And at the same time, I had to keep my information product business, my bodybuilding business that I had done for so many years, and I continue to do. Go to skiplacour.com to check that out. And I just remember I had, like 5 or 10 boxes that I needed to take to the post office. You know, and he said to me, he goes, you know, you can't be doing that type of work. You have to have somebody do that for you. And I was thinking, hey, dude, I didn't say this to him, but, you know, in my mind, the first reaction is like, dude, what are you talking about? Man, these books, these DVDs, I've given my heart and my soul learning this information and explaining and writing and putting up websites and marketing myself and putting myself out there and winning national championships and listen to all these people say, oh, there's no way he's drug-free and all these ups and downs and all arounds and being in business relationships with supplement companies where I thought I wasn't getting my worth and I was bringing so much attention to their supplement companies. I had to, you know, freaking plead in no bargaining position for the chump change that they were giving me, right? I need this money. I am proud of this work. It's helping out people and it's going out to 63 countries around the world. Hey, Mr. Multimillionaire, tell me I can't be doing that myself, right? That was my initial reaction. Probably held on that for a while because he didn't know me. He didn't understand me. You know, the truth of the matter, that is so right. He is so correct. Man, if I'm doing that kind of work, I don't have the time to think of the big thoughts, the ones that really produce, that are going to really create the high quality of life that I need. I may have to forego that short-term, you know, money, no matter how much I work for, no matter how that helped me out along the way. It really doesn't matter what a unique position I was in the bodybuilding world to be able to do that. If I wanted to achieve my big goals and my dreams, I can't spend time doing those little things. And it isn't that I don't appreciate them. It's just not, like I said, I worked very hard to put myself in that position. Right? But if I want the big things, I can't keep on thinking that small. That's not the highest and best use of my time. You know, whatever time it took to pack those boxes, I don't know, a few hundred dollars, you know, to put them out. What if I just sat alone and I thought of a brilliant way to connect with you, add value to your life, ask for your help, to reciprocate what I'm doing for you by supporting Mass Machine Nutrition? Because I know that when you try Mass Machine Nutrition, you're going to say, wow, this guy is exactly like he comes across on the podcast, and these are high-quality products, okay? But maybe the hour I spend preparing for a podcast and posting it, whether I want to or not, whether I think it's going to pay off or not, all right, what can that do for my family, my future, for you on such a larger, grander scale than the couple hundred bucks of whatever it takes to assemble and put that out and wait in the post office line, right? But I just remember, you know, resisting that. And like I said, I could probably give you hundreds of stories like that where I look back and why didn't I even get that reaction? It was so obvious. He's so correct. And who am I, if I'm going for that higher quality of life, to question him and start looking for things about him that he doesn't understand, right? And so if I am hearing things and you're mismatching, you're thinking, oh, he doesn't know, or that's not true in my case. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things that I probably said that aren't true in your case that one went in one ear and out the other. And you don't even remember them right now because they didn't apply to you. But this one, and I'm just using that example, something that I said really causes this reaction in you. Well, that may be something you want to revisit later, right? It may be 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 2 years from now, hell, 10 years from now, right? But there is a reason why you're bookmarking in your mind those comments that I'm making, because I don't even know you personally. So congratulations to you. Like I said, there's so many websites, so many blogs, so many podcasts. You took the time, you found your way to this. You made it a part of your daily discipline to listen to it. You're following through. You're stimulating thought. You're going on this path. Great. Awesome. That is something that you should be proud of. You're one of the very few people who, number one, identified what they really want. They've identified things that they need to do. You found people in your life who you can trust, who follow through that selective process that's going to make your life work. You found that in me. You follow through with what you said that you are going to do, so you're building trust in yourself, and you're starting the process by listening to this information. And hopefully we're doing more than that. We're taking action, but you're taking the first steps, right? So congratulations to you. Said this once before, I'm going to say it again. Thank you for supporting Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition, my highest quality bodybuilding supplement sports nutrition line. Right, I'm doing these podcasts to share my experience with you, to help you out. But I really want you to know who I am, how I am different than maybe some of those other supplement companies. They're just a red bottle. It's just a green bottle. It's just a blue bottle. You know, bottles, those supplements, the quality, their claims, they're made by people just like me, right? Just a man just like me. But who are those men? You know, I want you to know who I am, you know, as I am in this business, in this journey, right? I don't want it to just be a supreme, clean, Mass Machine white bottle to you. There's a person behind that making the decision. That's one of the reasons to create a win-win situation, like I encourage you to do. That's why I'm doing these podcasts. So here we are in podcast number 96. I'm counting down the best life lessons that I've learned up until this point in my life. And I want to tell you, you know, there are so many different levels to life. You may look at something that I've done and say, wow, man, he's accomplished a lot. That may seem to you like, man, I'm on the top of the ladder. Maybe in some cases I am. You know, some of you have accomplished a lot of things in different areas of life that I haven't even started the process of mastering. So you're saying, you're looking at me going, yeah, he's got a lot to, he at least he knows it, but he's got a lot to do and learn to improve in this area of life. Right? And I know that, right? So, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you think or anybody else thinks, you know, about what level, you know, I'm at, whether that's successful, that's not so successful, or somewhere in between. It matters what I think. Just like, you know, your level of success and development and progress in life, it doesn't matter what I think, it matters what you think. And it doesn't matter what level you've achieved, there's always a higher level. There's always a higher level. And that's when all these life lessons totally, you know, come into the picture. You know, today I'm going to talk about risk and how you evaluate risk, what your definitions of risk are, right? So let's take something that why you probably, you know, came to know me, right? That's my bodybuilding and training efforts, right? So I know that, you know, okay, I'm a 6-time national champion drug-free bodybuilder, and everything that it took, all the risk in life and all that to get to that point. Quitting my job allowed me to focus on bodybuilding more, and all the distinctions caused a lot of stress, that risk, how I had to put it together financially to make that happen. To some people, you might go, whoa, that's risky, right? And wow, he's accomplished a lot. 6-time national champion drug-free bodybuilder. He should be really proud of that. And you know what? I am. I am proud of what I've accomplished. I really defined what it is that I wanted in life, what I was willing to do, what I wasn't willing to do, created this code of conduct and these values. And I lived, you know, within those values. And so that's the way I set up the game. And I lived by the rules that I set up to how I need what I need to do to win the game, and I feel like I did very well in the game, right? But there's things that I wouldn't do. Take steroids or other drugs, right? To me, you know, look, I'm not shaming anybody. I'm not judging anybody. But for me, man, for muscles that you won't even have forever, for a trophy, you know, for fame, let's try to do this without all that. I'm not willing to take that risk. Right, and I know that probably if you're in my circles, that was a good decision. That's the only decision. Are you even questioning that decision? No, I'm not. At the same time, though, man, especially with the emergence of social media, man, you really see these top IFBB professional bodybuilders, right, who, let's just assume between you and me, that they are taking steroids and other drugs. Man, these guys have massive, massive followings. I mean, my piece of the pie compared to their piece of the pie is minuscule, no matter what you think I've accomplished. And, you know, I always had these dreams of getting in muscle and fitness and flex. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever really gotten muscle and fitness besides an ad. You know, I have been featured in Flex a couple of times, very appreciative of that. I did know, you know, back then, pre-internet explosion, that those guys got a lot of publicity, or they had that publicity all around the world, and I knew that, you know, mine was, you know, pale in comparison to theirs, right? But I was like kind of the big fish in little pond, very appreciative of the amount of exposure and opportunities that I had. Well, now that I look at, you know, all their likes and Facebook and all this, man, that gap, I knew that they were a lot more popular just by, you don't even have to be the top IFBB pro. You just have to be, you know, in that, you know, top 10-ish type group. You know, I knew that they had a lot more international publicity and recognition than I did, but I didn't realize it was that big of a gap, right? And then you think about, you know, if I had the same work ethic and the same desires to help other people, I guess that would change the whole thing. So, you know, bear with me with this analogy because it's not 100% accurate. But what could I have done, you know, helping the world with that platform, with that much exposure? How could I have set myself up, all these books and everything that I had written, what could I have done for my family? And the pressure that, you know, I'm working so hard, taking so much stress right now with Mass Machine Nutrition because I must do it because of all that time that I was just eating and training every couple hours and winning contests again and again and again. You know, that was that imbalance that way. Now I've got to be imbalanced this way, working hard with Mass Machine Nutrition, which I gladly and happily do. You know, but it's compensated. If I had a bigger platform back then, you know, what could I have done with that? Sometimes I think about that, you know. But I wasn't willing to take that risk with my body. I wasn't willing to take that risk with my, you know, not my reputation as a drug-free body, but my reputation just as a person. I just, to me, you know, I started really training at 27. I was already a mature adult with responsibility. And, you know, to walk around just all huge and people thinking you're on steroids, well, I guess they would know you're on steroids and you're doing something against the law and peek around the corner. That didn't make sense to me. That was not. And then, you know, part of it, I guess I didn't know. I didn't know it was in the future or this or that. I mean, it wasn't a good risk for me. But that was a decision that I had to make. And I know that a lot of you, most of you are probably saying, hey, that was a good risk not to take, right? But those are decisions that I, you know, had to make, you know, along the way. And so let's kind of review what the top 10 best lessons, life lessons that I learned up until this point. So in podcast number 91 was lesson number 10 as I count to number 1. And that is, you must get in close proximity to the level of success that you really want. You got to hang around those people that are really succeeding so you can break down the mindset, not just learn the strategies. You got to pick up all this stuff, you know, the nuances, the subtleties of success that you're not going to find in a book. And you only get that when you smell the same smells in the same room. You breathe the same air. You know, you walk, you see them walk, talk, right? You got to get in close proximity. Podcast number 92 was lesson number 9. And it's when you really become the great person you say you are, you will magically start being in the company of great people just like you. And that's like, you know, check yourself. You know, if you're not around the people that you want, maybe you have a good heart and good intentions, right? Maybe you're a hard worker. Maybe you're enthusiastic and passionate. Maybe you put in your time, but you don't seem to be around great people. Don't complain about it. You know what I mean? Maybe your standards aren't high enough. Maybe you're being too easy on yourself. You know, check yourself, because when you're truly great, I'm telling you, just great people will, they'll gravitate towards you, or you'll gravitate towards them. And I say magically, it's not magic, because birds of a feather flock together. If you're not flocking to great people, you may not be great yet. All right. And podcast number 93, number 8, take on as much stress as humanly possible, as often as possible, to create the life that you really want. All right, man, you got to build that stress muscle. Everything is hard before it becomes easy. You got to go through that pain before you know it. What you used to consider stress isn't going to be stress. You're just not going to feel it in your body. You're not going to see it in your mind. What made you stay up late at night, because it was so overwhelming, you're going to be able to sleep like a baby with those same conditions, or even more, quote unquote, stressful, because you built that muscle. You're stronger and better able to handle it. And you must get better at handling to have that life that you really want. You can't sit back and just wait till you're ready. Well, I feel this pain. I feel this angst. I feel this stress. So I'm going to sit back and wait until I don't feel that way. And then I'm going to step up and do these things, or take these chances, take these risks, put in this extra time. Doesn't work that way. Podcast number 94, number 7. If people aren't treating you the way you want them to treat you, take a long, hard look at yourself first. All right? Like I said, we condition people. We train people to treat us a certain way. And there are many, many stop signs. If you remember the analogy that I used in podcast number 94, all these stop signs we're going into bad neighborhoods. Now we're in this bar, and then some biker hits us over the head with the cue sticks. There was many, many stop signs that you went through, many roads that you took to get there. You didn't just show up there and, somebody screwed me, man. This shouldn't happen to a good person like me. Now, I'm not saying bad things don't happen to good people, but you have to look at yourself why you're in that situation. Podcast number 95, lesson number 6. Balance in life can only be determined by you and be measured in longer time periods, right? Can't go by what your friends say, your family says, and let's assume that they have your best intentions, right? What they consider as balance. You got to figure that out for yourself, what that means to you compared to where you want to go. And you can't look at it as a day-to-day type thing, even week-to-week or even month-to-month. It may be 2 years of imbalance to master this, and then you finish that, and then it's 2 years of imbalance over here to master this. And then you look over the course, you know, of, look, guys, it may be many years, and that should be encouraging to you if you're 22 years old right now and you don't, it doesn't feel like you're getting close to this, how this all works out. By now, you should have balance in life because you're all of 21 years old and you've been working so hard and you're a good person. Man, that's not how it works. Look, to have the pleasure, the opportunity to speak to you this way, you know, it was, you know, 25 years of bodybuilding training. You know all the sacrifices that go on that, but it was 15 years was competing at the highest level, total imbalance, right? Then I talk about right when I was done with that, I had this fear. I pushed off getting into the total stressful situation of imbalance with Mass Machine Nutrition, which I should have, I put in the trademark for Mass Machine Nutrition. Oh man, it's probably 13 years ago or 10 to 13 years ago because I knew that was the next step, right? And it was just something that I didn't want to have that imbalance right after the other imbalance. So in between that time period, that's when I learned all about leadership and man formation, how to carry myself, how people worked. I went on the road, listened to people, what their needs were, you know, and then, you know, how I fit in the picture and how people who really know how to succeed in life, how they looked at other people, how they established these frames and relationships, how they got people to willingly and joyfully get in the big picture, create these win-win situations. Then I became imbalanced in that. That's why, you know, with the man formation strategies, I can teach you those things. Man, I can show you a few things. You can walk into any room and get this reaction from people. It's just, there's strategies. I'm telling you, those guys who just have that charisma, there are certain strategies. And once I give you the simple and tremendously effective strategies, and you believe in them, you execute them, and then you see the reaction of other people, you're going to say, oh, hell yeah, and you're going to get addicted to it and dive into it more and more and more. And that's what I have to offer you in the Man Formation program, right? So I was in balance learning those strategies, but I have those. So I have this confidence, this international recognition from, you know, being in the van in Seattle and saying, oh my God, this is so painful because of that imbalance. And then I went into the imbalance of breaking down strategies of man formation leadership. And now, over the last 4 years, I've been going through the total imbalance stress going into this very competitive sports nutrition supplement world and going through all that stress. I mean, man, as little as 2 years ago, I could not sleep at night, guys. Man, I have never written so many purchase orders for so much money that I didn't have. It's not what it appears if you think it's just bottling up, you know, these supplements like you hear. I hear a lot of guys, you know, talk about, you know, on the internet, how they see it. And you know what? I kind of saw it that way too, back when I was competing, back, you know, when I spent a lot of time on that end of the fence. Man, imbalance, and I'm still imbalanced today. You could just look at from the time that we meet in the morning with these Morning Connection podcasts to you see my last post at night and the amount of podcasts and the amount of posts. That's just the marketing end of Mass Machine Nutrition to draw your attention to what I'm doing to sell you on the quality, right? Man, what about the accounting and the budgeting and the planning and finding the right people and the best ingredients. Man, you don't even hear about all that stuff, right? So totally imbalanced now, right? So we have the total imbalance of the bodybuilding and training champion. Then we have the total imbalance of the man formation leadership guy going all around the country, learning about people and doing it in between. And by the way, that was a little stopgap between me because I wasn't willing at that time to take on all the stress that I knew I was going to be taking on with Mass Machine Nutrition. Now we have that. We're full blown into that. Imbalance, 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 right? Constantly searching for that balance, all leading. Now, again, you got to find something that you totally love to do and it's worthwhile and you can believe in it, right? Inch by inch, creating that total life, that big picture, those things in life that I, you know, really want. So, you know, that probably doesn't seem, it may look balanced on the outside. I don't know, maybe it doesn't, but there's no balance. There's no day-to-day balance or even month-to-month balance in my scenario. And hey, that's what I'm working towards. Get better and better at it. You know, so that's what we discussed in podcast number 95. So here we are in podcast number 96. And the lesson is, if you aren't getting the results in life that you really want, reconsider how you currently evaluate risk. Right? You have to evaluate how you currently, you have to reconsider how you currently evaluate risk if you aren't getting the results in life that you really want. Now this, I'll just tell you something. This is a very challenging topic to talk about. It's a lesson that I'm continually learning. Really, all of these lessons I am continually learning. Like I said, I may understand them to a certain point that got me to a certain level in life, but I want so much more. And it's almost like you have to relearn it or reapply it to the higher goal that you set. So you can be a good risk taker, let's say, at one level that got you there, but then you have to totally reconsider, reevaluate, you know, how you describe it, what a good risk, a bad risk, what a very high-level risk versus a low-level risk. You have to reevaluate all of that to get to that higher level. And I'll just tell you, you know, this is something, it's so trite, but it's so true. The greater the risk in life, the greater the rewards. So if you don't, if you know that you're not taking a lot of risk or you're not really putting yourself out on the edge, you're probably getting the results that are equal to the amount of risk that you're taking, whether you wish that was true or not, whether you believe that to be true. If you don't have it, you don't know. If you don't have that quality of life that you don't know, you may not want to stick with your current definition of risk because you're just assuming that if you continue with that thought process, the way you evaluate risk, that it's going to get you to the higher level. May, it may not. I don't know. Everybody's got to, you know, think about their own situation. That's why I don't tell you, you got to take more risk. I'm not telling you that. Because I don't know your situation. I don't know what you want. I don't know what you are willing to do. You know, I talked about how, you know, I wanted all the success and international publicity and connect with fans all over the world, but I wasn't willing to take a risk with the drug and the health and all that avenue. So you got to be honest with yourself. You know, for me to want to be on the cover of Muscle and Fitness and be in there and feature just like all the other top IFBB pros and not take drugs, you know, that's not going to happen. And I kind of go back to that story because, you know, I've used a lot of these skills that I talk about. And, you know, Peter McGuff, he was the editor of Flex Magazine, you know, way back, you know, in the day. And he really liked who I was and what I stood for. And I'm not necessarily talking about the drug-free or not type of thing. But he just liked my work ethic, my message, and everything like that. And, you know, he asked me to come to a photo shoot down to L.A. It was a last-minute thing. It was in my off-season, but I stayed in relatively, you know, good shape. And so it was this opportunity of a lifetime to be in a photo shoot, a feature. And I had articles. And then he was going to print articles, right? And then flew down there and everything. You know, the bottom line is, look, my physique, I don't care what how great you guys think it is or what it appears in magazines with the shadow. It doesn't compare to those guys. So I did that photo shoot. I mean, I wasn't in my best shape because, again, it was somewhat in my off season. But they never got printed. You know, pictures never got printed. I appreciated the opportunity. Didn't measure up to that level. So I can't sit here and cry about, you know, I'm not willing to take the risk. I'm going to, you know, it hasn't worked out that way. I don't even know to anybody, but so why should I expect it, you know, to work out for me? It's good to have dreams, but, you know, there's a certain reality. The bottom line is I wasn't willing to take those risks, you know, and like all the other guys, and I guess I'm making an assumption, I guess, whatever, you know, that they were willing to take. Why should I get by without taking the risk that they're taking? I got to be really awesome to make my dreams happen without the risk that they're taking, right? Sometimes it happens. But again, I'm not telling you what's right or wrong. I'm just saying if you're not getting the results that you want, you may need to reconsider, you know, how you evaluate. That's what makes this a touchy subject. For that reason and for the fact that, you know, everybody has, you know, their way of thinking about risk, how they define it, how they evaluate it. What's a good risk? What's a bad risk? What's a high risk? What's a low risk? What's worth it to even do that risk versus what's not? Everybody's got to come up with those decisions for themselves. And, you know, I know that there's a few of you who will say, you know, I don't take enough risk. I don't really roll the dice enough with my time, energy, and motion, with my heart and my soul to achieve the level of success that I really want. You know, you may come to that conclusion because maybe you're in a place that you're just so sick and tired of, you know, of working so hard, being such a good person, and you're not getting closer to the life that you really want, right? So that may apply to you, may not. I'm not sure that you already know that you're not taking enough risk, right? Most people think that the risk that they do take are quote-unquote good risk. The risk that they don't take are stupid risk, right? So they kind of have this, you know, this belief in their mind that they already have it right. And so that's why I just say, hey, if you're not getting the results that you want, you may want to reevaluate it. And here's what the challenge is. Look, did I know when I was working hard and the isolation and all the things that I talk about to help me become a champion bodybuilder to put me in this position to talk to you right now, did I know it was going to pay off? No. I am positive, even though it probably went in one ear and out the other. I think I've mentioned a couple of times where people questioned my dedication, how I was investing my time and energy, that to them it wasn't a good risk. Who knows? Maybe they're right, okay? Everybody's got to live their life by their own rules and what they consider success, right? But it's a risk because you don't know what's on the other side of the curtain. You don't know if it's going to pay off. If you knew it was going to pay off with 100% certainty, guess what? It wouldn't be considered a risk. It would be a for sure thing. A for sure thing isn't a risk. So if you're 100% certain it's worth your time, you got to take that off the table. That's not a risk. If you're 100% certain this is totally worth your time, then don't even put that in the category when I talk about risk, because to you, that's not a risk if you're 100% certain. All right? Even if you're 90% certain, or if it's a 50-50 gamble, those are the risks that you should think about. When I talk about risk, that's the ones that you should think about, where you can work your heart, you can put your heart out line, get up and say something to be ridiculed, and it can never pay off. You wasted your time, energy, money, your reputation. Those are the things that I'm talking about, and those are the things you need to maybe reconsider. So here's the deal is, if you want to, you know, feel safe where you are, you may want more out of life, but you're not really willing to take those risks. But again, I can't tell you that. You have to tell yourself that. The easiest thing to do is to look at other people who took the risk that you've been considering but you didn't take, and you just see them miserably fail and be so unhappy and risk and lose all their money and lose all their time. Their business fails, their relationship, their marriage fails, right? All those things. They took steroids and their health fails, right? Now, again, I can't tell you. I'm sure a lot of things I totally agree with you with. Some things I may not see it that way. So it's not really about me agreeing with you, giving that validation. Man, you got to go through this world yourself and make these decisions yourself, right? You know, it's easy to say, look at all the failures. They took those risks that I was kind of sitting on the fence thinking I should take. Fail, 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 fail. Right? You know, I've had people say to me, you know, through other people, you guys, you have no chance with Mass Machine. It's so competitive with Mass Machine Nutrition, right? That's their reality, right? I'm the one who has to determine. So it's like, hell, all you have to try to find a muscle magazine and look at the supplement companies. From just 5 years ago, look at a muscle magazine. How many of them aren't there anymore, right? Yeah, it's competitive. I could easily look at those and never take the risk. You know, look at bodybuilders who put in the time, effort, win contests. Nobody knows who they are. And then they just got to go back to the regular lives, or they keep on plugging it out. And, you know, they never have that balance in life. They fall further into the addiction of the lifestyle, which caused them the isolation that I talked about. Now they're 82 years old with that and no money because of all that, right? I mean, I could look at all the people who failed. There's plenty of people in every area of life who failed at the thing that I really want to succeed at. Same thing for you. You can easily focus on that and say, there you go. That's why I don't do it, because that's stupid. That's not a risk. That's stupidity. And you got to check yourself. Is that what you do? Maybe that's smart. Maybe it's not. Again, I can't make that decision for you. But it comes back to, if you're not living the quality of life that you really want, then you may need to reconsider how you define risk, how you evaluate risk. All right? Again, if it was a for sure thing, it wouldn't be, you know, a risk. What you need to do instead is look at the people who succeed. Because the greatest things in life, right, a very small percentage of the people who try actually achieve that. Again, what do we talk about? We talk about financially. We talk about relationships, health, bodybuilding and training, your health and fitness. A very, very small. Now, you may hang in a group of people who are successful like you if you are successful in one or more of those areas. So it seems like there's a lot of people succeeding. But compare yourself to the masses. You know, and you're 1 out of 10 at the very most. Right? So to succeed with all the time, energy, and effort, risk to have the results that you want, you're in the very select few. I need to encourage you, if you want to win like them, you got to focus on the 1 out of 10 and not the 9 out of 10 like you may want to do. So you don't have to take risk, feel pain, lose sleep, right? Focus on the one. Pick them apart. How did they get there? So I'm very open about everything. I want you to know the risk, the pain, the suffering, along with the success, right? And then you got to make that decision. Am I big enough, strong enough, persistent enough, smart enough, resilient enough, emotionally and mentally flexible enough? Do I have enough tenacity to become the 1 out of 10? Or should I just identify and relate to the 9 out of 10 who aren't succeeding, and so I won't take risk like them because they're failure, so it's a smart risk? These are decisions that, you know, you need to look at. You need to examine yourself. You need to evaluate for yourself. You know, because, you know, we have this connection through bodybuilding and training, I want to bring up this Arnold Schwarzenegger example when it comes to risk. Now, let me just say that if there's one person that is so known all over the world for bodybuilding by people who aren't bodybuilders, obviously it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of the very few. Also, for generations, for years after him, he has influenced so many people to get into bodybuilding. If you look on bodybuilding.com or wherever where it says to a 19-year-old, how did you get started in bodybuilding? Right? He'll say, Arnold Schwarzenegger was my idol. Right? Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger has been bodybuilding for a long time, long before this person was even born, and Arnold still remains an influence. Right? He is that popular, has that much influence when it comes to bodybuilding and training. Right? And he's taken that to politics. Let's just start off with the movies. top grossing, top paid action hero, many, many movies, and then influence of politics, right? And governor of California twice, right? And he's got ambitious ambitions to change the laws that foreign-born American citizens can't be president, right? That's ambition. That's goals. Now, not everybody is an Arnold fan. I would say a lot of people generally are. Some people think he's a jerk. Some people think he's an idiot, right? Some people think he's arrogant or whatever, right? And with his latest challenge, right, when he had a child with his housekeeper that he was having sex with in his house, he had his maid pregnant and his wife pregnant at the same time, and they gave birth within days of each other, right? Man, that's some pretty risky behavior, isn't it? See, and because of that, I'm sure that he lost a lot of fans. He lost a lot of respect, right? And the easiest thing for me, so Skip, what are you doing, man? You condoning that type of behavior? No, look, you know, I just look at other people. I just learn from other people, and I see how I'm going to apply it to my life. This is how I look at that Arnold Schwarzenegger situation. Again, it's not about him really, hey, great for Arnold, bad for Arnold, whatever. We all just look at each other on how we can learn lessons to enhance the quality of our lives and the lives of our family, right? This is the way I look at that, is that, yeah, that is obviously a very dumb move, right? But then I think deeper, I think, wow, risky behavior. And, you know, if you really read his story, he's done a lot of risky things with his life from, you know, back when he even started bodybuilding and he was in the army in Austria and he broke away to win the Mr. Universe. And, you know, I mean, I don't think that you go AWOL from the military. I don't think you just get a slap on the wrist. He was taking a big risk to enter that contest. Then he came back and schmoozed them and with his charisma and charm at that age to get them all excited so he would win it next year, to take the risk of moving from a different country to pursue his dream. Risk, 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 risk. All right, to become the bodybuilder, right? And you know that he's taken a lot of risk before, so this wasn't the first time, you know, he's taken risk. This is just the big dumb one, all right? So it would be easy just to focus on that and tear that down. This is the way I look at it, I think. Okay, dumb move, no doubt about it, you know. But I'm thinking, you know, is that same risk-taking behavior that he did, number one is, I wonder if he's done hundreds and hundreds of things like that that didn't bite him in the ass like that, number one. You know, he may not even be able to tell you because whatever risk he takes is just like you. He thinks it's worth it. The risk is worth the reward. Now, you may not agree with that. I may not agree with that. He probably has hundreds and hundreds of risks that we would find questionable. That was definitely one of them, that short-term gratification or whatever relationship that he had. But it just makes me think, what other kind of crazy risk? And are those crazy risks that he was willing to take, is that why he's so known in the bodybuilding circles? His name is known all over the world in the bodybuilding circles, even from up-and-coming bodybuilders who weren't even alive when he used to compete. And then to become the charismatic action hero making millions and millions of dollars to take care of, and he was into real estate even before that. Real estate's a risky business that worked for him, right? But, you know, so now he's this motion picture hero making millions and millions of dollars to not only take care of him in style, but all of his children and probably his children's children and his, you know, his parents or his family or, you know, I know that his father died. There's a story about that. But, you know, that risk has a payoff that really makes some people's life very, very comfortable so they can concentrate on other things. Right? I'm thinking about what we're all, are this, that same mindset that made that stupid risk, is it the same mindset is why he's so adored and he has so much influence. So that's one thing I think. And then I think, Jesus Christ, this guy had a kid who was in close proximity to him. And man, he was so influential because I know a lot, there had to have been people who knew. They kept it quiet in this age with the Inquirer. Nobody knew about that for years. He's the one who broke it to us. Man, what a level of respect and Smoove's ability or power, whatever he has, that the people who knew kept their mouths shut. You know, wow, that's to me is amazing, right? Then to go for governor of the most populated state in the country of the United States, he's going for governor with this skeleton in his closet walking around within close proximity that some people know, where all this attention is going to be drawn to him. That is risky, right? Because if that would have came out then, not only would he have not won the governor, I don't know that for sure, but I would assume that. But definitely embarrassment for him and his family and his marriage even back then. It's like he's rolling the dice with his reputation, with that child's reputation, with his mistress's reputation, and his marriage and his kids and his heart. And he's still going for governor. That is risky. That's really rolling the dice. He could have just kept his millions and his bodybuilding fame and his movie fame, kept it quiet, less risk of his secret getting out and hurting his kids like he eventually did. But no, he was so driven to what we say now he's maybe really working for to become president, right? He really wanted to be governor and saw the step that he was willing to take that risk. I'm not saying I agree with that risk, and it didn't, everything didn't eventually turn out well in that particular regard. But that is, you got to admit, you got to give him credit for having big balls. Or maybe that's really stupid. I don't know what you think, right? And then he ran for governor again. And then there was, all of that, when he ran for governor, all the actresses that on the movie said he touched them inappropriately. I don't know Arnold. I don't know what type of risk he took, but he was probably just laughing when he goes, "Yes, I was a very bad man." He's probably thinking, patting some girl on the ass on a movie set, that's what they're all complaining about. They knew everything that I did. That'd be the least. There was, within 10 miles, there was a kid that his family didn't know about, his wife didn't know about, and the general public didn't know about. And they're getting on me about slapping some girl's ass on a movie set. Yeah, I did that. Hey, I'm a bad man. You can see where he came off. And he sold it well. Oh, God, that crazy Arnold. He wins the governorship, again. Right? That's risk-taking. That's balls. And again, whether you agree, you think it's stupid, well, look at him now, dude. I don't know. I wouldn't count him out, right? I wouldn't count him out. Got to admit, that's some risk-taking. That's some balls, whether you do that or not. So again, what do you learn from that? Okay, he's got these gigantic balls that are the size of boulders, right? 20-foot-high boulders. He's walking around with two of those, right? We know that's Arnold. And look what everything that... And those, we don't even know all the stuff, other crazy bad decisions he's made, along with all the great ones that he's made, all the risks that he's taken, right? So again, who cares about Arnold? What about you? Are you taking the risk that you need to take to have the quality of life that you want, right? And don't think that, every risk has to pay off. I mean, there's nothing like every training routine that you've used, everyone didn't work, but you had to learn about it, take that risk where it was failing, and then... it led you to the point. Arnold obviously has this big risk-taking muscle, right? And everyone doesn't work out. And some of them are going to be stupid or bad risk. They're not worth the price that you pay. And that's basically what the decision that you're going to have to, do is that you got to define it yourself. It's the risk versus the reward. That's the key for you, is what you're risking, what could the downside happen. Is it worth the price that you'll get? And who can define that other than you? I'm just telling you, you need to look at the process, how you're evaluating it, if you're not getting the things in life that you really want. Now, let's just talk about me. You know what? I don't believe I've taken enough risk in life. I do not believe I've taken enough risk in life to get the quality of life that I talk about, I dream about, I talk about with my family. And I have to constantly evaluate it. And I'm taking more and more risks. Trust me, I am taking more and more. And I'm not just talking about easy things of time and emotion. A lot of things. Money, reputation. There's a stress. Years of my life. Sometimes I look at the good old days where I just woke up to go train and eat. And man, after I got those two meals in and after a great workout, boy, I really performed well. and it's 9 o'clock and I thought I was so much better than everybody else. Because I've already eaten 2 meals. I've already gotten in my great workout while they're still in bed. They're just starting their day. Okay, you know, living, you know, within my rules, my values, what I was willing to risk, achieving what I wanted. And that was fine, but the life that I want, I've got to add more to it than that. And again, it may be in those stages that we talk about as within that imbalance. You know, you just have to constantly ask yourself with everything that you do. I like to talk about, you know, the three areas of life. Let's start off with health and fitness, bodybuilding and training. That may be a risk that people say, why are you spending all your time and energy doing that, going to the gym? You should be doing this and this. But you're risking that your efforts, your time and energy, you're searching the internet, listening to podcasts, reading articles, watching videos, that's going to pay off to have the body that you want. It doesn't always, and most of the time you don't feel it's paying off to the level that you're putting in. You're willing to take that risk, right? Maybe some of you aren't willing to take that risk. You can't start on your diet because it's not the perfect diet. And this guy says that I should be able to eat this and that. And he says I can. And because I don't want to risk my time and energy and effort to even try anything, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to complain. Well, if I knew more about nutrition, I'd really be good. Well, you got to risk with something, put your time, energy, and effort, risk it at the chance of failing, and then you're going to learn a lot from there. You got to your risk-taking ability when it comes to nutrition and the actual execution of a plan, it's not very high, okay? 3 months of total dedication that it could possibly fail, that whatever somebody told you to do isn't the right strategy. Wow, 3 months of your time, energy, and effort, but you could have something that could last you for the rest of your life. You could have that body that you really want for the rest of your life. You can move on to other things in life. Maybe it's the outside of the gym in your body once you get this nutrition. Maybe you have to take the risk and do something, right? But generally, people in this area, we take more risk when it comes to our time, energy, effort, the level of focus on the things that it takes to have the body we want and less focus on the other things. That imbalance, we're more willing to do that when it comes to our body. What are the other things that I talk about? You know, money. Let's first talk about your job. Do you want a promotion and have all the stress and the responsibility that comes with that? Is that worth the money that comes with it to get you what you want? Is it worth whatever the good feeling that you want? You're making that decision right now of risking doing that is worth it. Some of you gladly want that promotion. You want to work hard. It's worth it to you. Some of you think it's stupid. Those are for those kiss asses at work. Those are decisions that you're making based on risk versus reward. Quitting your job. I talk about my story. Quitting your stable job to start your own business. That's a big risk. If you want the big prize, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you want your destiny, your time in your own hands. So you can decide if you're going to spend your mornings doing a Morning Connection podcast and take on that endeavor. You know, you're going to have to quit your job and have that freedom and risk everything that comes with it, right? Hell, then when you start a business, trust me, there's more risk, more risk, more risk, more risk. And the higher you want to go, there's more risk, right? I remember when I was about ready to start Mass Machine Nutrition, you know, I had to be certain and confident that I had everything aligned, the right people, the right attitude, everything in line to do it, right? And I remember I was talking to this one mentor guy, and he said to me, you know, it's not that easy. You know, if making money was that easy, you know, it's not that easy. If it was, then everybody would just have tons of money. So, you know, as I whip myself into a sense of confidence that you need, you know, there is risk involved with everything. So if you feel as though, oh my God, I'm stretching myself, you know, that may be a good thing. Again, well, Skip, should I do this? Is this a good risk? Nobody can tell you that. Nobody can tell me that. You know, no, because again, your chances generally are 1 out of 10 that you're going to succeed. Now, you're going to have to think you're better than that. You're going to be in the 1 and not in the 9 who fail. But, you know, you can't blame it on, you told me to do this, man, and I failed. Right? You can't ask anybody what a good risk is because, you know, hell, you know, I don't know, let's just say this was an example, and I order $300,000 worth of Mass Machine Nutrition products, right? and then I have to find a way to sell it. So I can't ask somebody at the beginning of it, is this a good risk to make that investment into the future? You know, I have to make that risk and then use all my physical, mental, emotional, my marketing abilities, my sales abilities, my connection ability. What can I give these people? Oh, I can give them my life experience. I can do a podcast. I'll do whatever it friggin' takes to make sure that risk was a good risk. But you can't sit on the sidelines and determine that beforehand, because, man, you'll see how charming you are. You know, maybe Arnold was so good at smoozing the people around him because he had this big secret. You know, that risk made him be so amazing in other areas, right? But you're not going to draw upon all those talents that you have if you don't take the risk, if you wait till you're talented enough to make it so that it's not a risk, right? You know, relationships. Man, are you putting your heart out online? Are you truly open to intimacy that would attract a person who is loving and caring that you really want? Man, I really question that in a lot of people in the bodybuilding and training, the focus, the dedicated lifestyle. Are you really open to intimacy and to have a person who's really open to intimacy? Or are you really stingy? You're not willing to risk your heart and energy and effort and time because they might hurt you. Maybe you've been hurt in your life sometime before. Who hasn't? Okay, that may not seem like a good risk to you because of the pain or whatever you see. Oh, look at all these people. These girls cheat on their husbands all the time. Marriages fail, right? And so, but you really want a relationship. Are you really risking your time, energy, and effort to have what you really want? Right, man, so many guys, you know, I got this great friend. It's like, you know, I think he's a good-looking guy, all right? But that's me, right? I know he's successful in business. I know he's got a great home, family. He's a nice guy. I know all those things for sure. But I always joke around. I go, let's just call him Joe. Joe, man, you're always going for the low-hanging fruit. You can get so much better than that, right? And I know why that is because those ones, he doesn't have to take as much risk to get hurt or be rejected, right? And maybe he has gotten the real hot, seemingly smart girl that could be a better fit, I think, for him. It doesn't matter what I think, but, you know, and then he didn't have the people skills or the conversation skills or the charismatic skills to hold that person. So he quit and didn't think he belonged there. And he went back down for the low hanging fruit, the easy one. But then he would always complain about the type of girls that he dated. I'll just tell you this is that, you know, I wish that as your big brother, your father figure, man, I could, the whole low-hanging fruit, the women you go after, all that whole skill set, there is a skill set involved, you know. And sometimes I'm tempted with all the other products that I'm taking on to teach you guys how that works. That is a skill set. It is not as magical, as difficult. It's just a skill set, just like training in the gym, just like a lot of different strategies, you know. But, man, you know, I just want to be more than doing that, even though that would be fun. And I know that that's what you guys would want. I would love to break that down for you to, you know, mystify maybe this area with this whole girl thing that you've been struggling with maybe your whole life, right? I would love to break that. Just that I got other things I got to do. It's just, you know, maybe I'll change, but, you know, maybe it's, I got other things that I think are more important. I don't want to be that guy talking about that at my age. And I'm also at a different place in life where, you know, I'm married and a family. But, God, I would love to break down those strategies for you so you're not settling for low-hanging fruit. You know, because, again, there are the closest thing is manformation. If you dedicate yourself to manformation and follow through, and you will have so many high-quality women who are attracted to you, it's unbelievable. All right, it's a skill set involved. But anyway, enough about that. You got to take the risk to have the relationship that you really want with your heart, energy, and emotion. And that's what you have to evaluate. Are you going to identify with the 9 people who are miserable and horrible relationships, that the relationship is cheating on them, there's a bad guy, bad girl, this, that, and everything, and stay out of being married and connected? Or are you going to try to focus on becoming that 1 out of 10 that has that, right? Again, I talked about your fitness. I talked about money and business or your job. I talked about relationships. There's risk in every area of your life. And again, I can't tell you. All again, I've said this 18 times already. If you are not, experience and the quality of the life that you really want, you really need to evaluate, really need to consider, to think about the things that I've talked about. Just like me, you know, I'm constantly reevaluating, you know, what I consider risk, good risk, bad risk, or somewhere in between, how it feels, how it looks, and is it getting me the results that I really want, how I define, how I evaluate risk. All right, so let's wrap up this podcast. You know, this was another one of those podcasts I thought was going to last only 10 minutes. All right, so let's go through our discipline. What was that thing that you did yesterday that really impressed you, that you really stretched yourself? And did you know it while you were doing it? And did you have so many possibilities that it could have been the top one that day and you realized that during the day? What was that cool moment where life was good? Maybe not it was an accomplishment, maybe just something you observed, something you felt, you connected with, that cool moment for you. And did you know that was in the running for one of the best while it was happening? Did you have several to choose from all day long? Man, when you start thinking that way about those couple things, man, you are well on your way to that mental and emotional conditioning to become that person who you really want to be. And then what's that thing in life that you really want? Let's stop. 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3, visualize it, feel it in your body, be in the picture, in your mind. Right? Gotta do our disciplines, no matter how long they go on these podcasts, right? So that's going to wrap up this morning connection podcast. Have a great day, and we will connect again tomorrow.